Time for us to get into our well-being conversation. And dermatologists are warning that South Africa is facing a melanoma epidemic unlike anything they've seen before. Apparently, there are high levels of melanoma in South Africa, and we, as the public, need to be exercising increased caution when exposed to the sun. And to speak to us about this concern by specialists, we're joined by specialist dermatologist at Morningside MediClinic, Dr. Jeremy O'Kennedy joins us on the line, and you can give us a call for Dr. Kennedy on 011-883-0702. Dr. O'Kennedy, a very good morning to you. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
How are you?
Very well, thank you, doctor. And how are you?
Good, thank you.
So thank you so much for joining us this morning. Let's start with a bit of background. When we speak about melanoma, what are we talking about?
Yeah, so melanoma is the most serious of all skin cancers. And important to remember that skin cancer has now become the most common of all cancers. And melanoma incidence in South Africa is growing exponentially. So it's fast becoming one of the biggest killers in the country. So serious stuff.
And when we talk about, I was reading an article saying here that the increase in melanoma cases is so significant that we're now, or so high, that it could be said to have reached epidemic proportions. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, definitely. We sort of define epidemic proportions to mean, in one sense, that it's starting to outweigh our ability to both address it, treat it, and try and turn the clock back. And that's a similar situation that Australia found themselves in, where not only did you have all of these people suffering, but you're struggling to have enough people to actually look after them or make the diagnosis or treat them. So yes, it's going up massively, and it's definitely not being controlled enough to move the other direction. We, even with the few interventions that we're doing, it does not seem to be turning it around.
And so, just in your own practice, doctor, are you able to tell us how many cases you are seeing? Because you're saying one of the challenges currently is that there are more cases than there is the ability to attend to them or treat them. Are you seeing that in your practice as well?
Yeah, so it's far too much than what one typically would expect, or what we'd be considered relatively normal, even for this latitude where skin cancer is always going to be a big issue. So when one's talking generally skin cancers on a daily basis, at least, 10, 15 cases. Melanoma in general, 10, 15 a week, which is massive. If, the worldwide trend is if they see one melanoma in a month, it's a big story for them. So this kind of numbers, which almost normalizes melanoma or skin cancers, way off.
And so how does one know that perhaps they need to be getting professional opinion on whether maybe they have melanoma? What are some of the symptoms? What are some of the high risk or things that put you at risk for melanoma?
Yeah, so the easiest way to answer that is at the early stages, cancers in general are not symptomatic, meaning one is not going to be aware that you have it. So the only way you're going to know in time for it still to be relatively easy to fix is to be checked. Having one skin checked is one of those things that should be routine, and internationally it's regarded as routine screening, meaning as soon as you reach the age of 18, you have to make sure that you've at least been checked head to toe by a dermatologist. By the time that something concerns a patient, it's usually a little bit beyond the point we would have wanted. But in general, any spot that's new or a spot that's been there that's changing, that's sort of an easy rule to stick to. But as I said, the symptom side that's often described, itchy, scaly, bleeding sore, that's not really something one wants to wait for. And then in terms of addressing that, you know, the easiest way is to get checked.
And doctor, we know, for instance, we are a country where we have sunshine basically all year round, even in our winter months. We often get told about the importance of using sunscreen, even in the winter months. Is that still, you know, a kind of a rule of thumb, even for trying to mitigate the risk of melanoma? Or is there something else that we can be doing?
Yeah, the important thing to remember is that it's radiation that we're really trying to address. It's not just purely heat or the light only emitted by the sun. It's the level of actual radiation emitted by electrons. And that's a latitude issue, meaning geographically where we are. And that's not something that changes with season. We're still here in the same latitude. So our susceptibility remains very high. Sunscreen really only works if it's used non-intermittently, which means always. And then sunscreen's sort of the best we can do for the areas of the body that are difficult to cover. So the hands, the ears, the neck, and the face. For the other areas, the ideal protection is clothing. That's why you'll see in costumes, suddenly we have all of these sleeves that have been added. Most sports now have the long sleeves and the sleeve extenders. So clothing is an incredible protectant as well. And then obviously the thing that should be common sense, staying away when the hours are really not exposure safe. So past 10 o'clock in the morning, up to about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, being out extensively is not something that's going to be safe, even if you're covered. Lying and tanning is completely out as a South African. Even tanning just once ups your risk of skin cancer by almost 100%. Yeah. And then seeking shade and, yeah, being prudent, not being stupid.
Mm. Dr. Kennedy, I recently learned, as someone who often gets their nails done with these kind of UV lights, that we should actually be wearing sunscreen on our hands when we do so, because that light that's used to cure your gel can also cause damage to your skin. But there was very little information about just, you know, what kind of damage, if it would be the kind of damage that could potentially put someone at risk of something like melanoma. But is it the case that if you are someone who, you know, gets their nails done using those small UV lights, that that light is just as, or could be just as harmful as the sun's rays?
Yeah, that's not something that there's strong, proper studies for yet. The concern is that the selling of these lights is relatively unregulated. So the ones that have been approved for use by, you know, professional nail technicians, or actually being something that is sellable, should have a spectrum of radiation that's admitted that should not really increase the risk for skin cancer. But the issue is that it's poorly regulated. So there has been some studies that show a lot of these lights, especially the ones that you can buy yourself, the UV spectrum in the actual globe is not what it's supposed to be. And then it's almost like you're in a sunbed, which is obviously horridly harmful. Sunbeds have been almost criminalized in Australia, and sort of we're trying to go the same way here because it's literally like a cancer machine. Mm-hmm. In terms of that being true of the nail curing lights, yeah, I wouldn't say that's been proven. I would probably think that if a person is doing that extremely regularly, or the technicians themselves, then maybe that would make a little bit of sense. But I think it's more about regulating that the light is actually the SABS-approved versions, which do not admit the amount of radiation that we will really be that concerned about.
We have a question here, Doctor, and it says, hi, is there a particular ethnic group in South Africa at risk, or more at risk of skin cancer?
Yeah, so one of the biggest risks for skin cancer, especially when one's talking about melanoma, obviously then it's going to be radiation light exposure. and the lightness of one's skin determines how effectively one is protected, because part of the important function that melanin or pigment plays is that it enables the cells to form almost like a little pigment umbrella around the DNA and protect itself. So the less amount of melanin, the less protected. So people with a very light skin, let's say reddish hair, very light eyes, very susceptible. People with a more African skin, less so. We do certainly find skin cancer in all skin types, and skin cancer in all skin types is going up. But the risk definitely moves along from very risky, being very light-skinned and light eyes, and then less risky, having darker eyes and a more African skin type.
So darker skin types, while they might have a smaller risk than lighter skin types, it doesn't mean that there's no risk at all. Because no. There are people who believe, well, my skin's darker, I don't need sunscreen because I have some protection because my skin is darker. There would still need to be precautions taken if you do have a darker skin. You just perhaps don't have as much risk as someone with a fairer skin.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing one needs to remember is it's not necessarily just about the harmful effect of the sun exposure causing cancer. There are many other harmful effects. The one obviously being accelerated aging. One of the biggest predictors of how fast you are going to age visually is sun exposure. Then also lots of pigmentary disorders. So one can cause a lot of hyper or even hypopigmentation to your skin by excessive sun exposure, which is difficult to reverse. And obviously people are very concerned about that nowadays. And then there are actually many medical skin conditions that have a severe light-sensitive component. Overexposure to any form of radiation is a bad thing. And then, you know, one forgets that melanoma is something that occurs most commonly in areas actually that are covered. So even though the sun is a major risk factor, melanoma can occur anywhere. The famous story being Bob Marley, which people were reminded of now that there's this excellent documentary on Netflix about him, is that he died of a melanoma on his toe. And that's something that obviously easily missed.
And so I know one of the things that you said is one of the difficulties with cancers is trying to detect them or trying to figure out symptoms. But it seems there are certain things with regards to your skin that you can, if or any changes to the appearance of your skin that you can use as guides about whether you need to seek out medical attention for, you know, with someone like yourself, like a specialist dermatologist. And I know one of them involves either any existing or new moles on your skin.
Yeah, the big advantage of the skin compared to all other organs, it's something you can see immediately. So let's say a person is unfortunate enough to develop liver cancer. That tumor has to grow large enough to make them start falling ill for them to then be investigated further, have a scan done. And then usually that tumor has progressed far for symptoms to appear, and then it's late cancer. In the skin, we can see it immediately. So it's something that we can see from its very freshest start long before it's potentially so dangerous. The point is just one must know how to look at it. And there's certain relatively easy rules. So on the one side, anything that's like a little sore that hasn't healed in 6 weeks is always a question mark. Something that's just a sore of any kind would have healed in that period. And the second component, if something is brand new and looks different than all the other spots one has, that's also a question mark. Or it's an existing spot that's always been there and suddenly it's changing. And typically we also say that these lesions are the so-called ugly duckling, meaning it just looks different to you than the other spots you have. Even if you have many spots, this one just for some reason stands out.
We have Elsa in Joburg that has a question for you, Doctor. Elsa, a very good morning to you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and thank you for a great show.
Yeah.
I have a friend who has skin cancer, mostly in the face, obviously, and he's a gardener, so, but he is having treatment, but his eyes seem to be affected. Can you tell us what the problem is there, please?
Doctor?
Yeah, so the eyes, it's important to regard them as part of our skin. The outer lining of the eyes is actually, you know, skin cells. And a large part of the eyes is very light, the white part. They're also very sun susceptible, which is why when we talk about sun protection, we always include large sunglasses. That's one of the reasons sunglasses, you know, became popular to protect the eyes because people realized that they were getting skin cancer and eye damage. So the eyelids, meaning the skin around the eyes, having cancers there, especially in the lower eyelid, is something that is unfortunately very common. And then in the eye itself, also unfortunately, we see cancer, including melanoma, which is why it's very important to, if there's something that looks like a little freckle in your eye, especially in the colored part, don't assume it's just a little birthmark or something that's always been there. It's probably an eye mole, and then have an ophthalmologist or eye doctor look at it, because they also then take a little picture, and then that can be compared. Because once again, if a melanoma in the eye starts being so severe that it causes you issues that you're picking up yourself, that's very late and very difficult to treat.
Elsa, does that answer your question?
Yeah, his eyes are watering a lot.
Mm.
Yeah, so sun damage in terms of long-term sun damage that we typically see in an older person that spend a lot of time outdoors, that kind of sun damage causes the skin quality in itself to deteriorate a lot. We call that solar elastosis or dermatoelastosis. Almost like the skin's ability to perform its normal functions is also hampered because the skin is so damaged. And that's typically when we see a patient with skin cancer. We're not just addressing the tumor or the cancer that's there. We're also addressing this part where the skin in itself is so sun damaged all over.
Yes.
That the skin is struggling to do its normal functions, hydration, tightness, all of that. That's something that we typically will treat almost like the person has eczema. That's something definitely a dermatologist can address, because the tearing, that's the dry, damaged skin.
And would, sorry, I was going to keep you too long. Would eye drops help him at all?
Sorry, Elsa, we lost you there.
I said sorry to keep you, but would eye drops help him at all?
Potentially they would, yes. The important thing is, yeah, we always teach patients that the first important step is always getting the exact right diagnosis.
Okay.
One doesn't want to just assume it's a general dry eye. One wants to find out exactly what is the issue. And then there's always something we can do. So if we can get a name to what's actually causing most of the dryness, there's something we can give which will help.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you for a great show.
Thank you for your question, Elsa. Yes, just a final question, doctors. We're almost out of time. Kuma on WhatsApp asks, does the amount of time in the sun impact your skin, your risk level? And another question about, what about, you know, the idea that most of the damage to the skin is done by the age of 12? Is that true? And can you then reverse that? So many of us, you know, have spent many, many years in the sun. Are you able to then reverse the damage or reduce the damage?
Yeah, so firstly, the amount of time certainly is an important factor. Unfortunately, there is, at this latitude, no such thing as a safe full exposure, meaning if you're lying down to actually do something like tan, there's no amount of time that's going to be safe. And what's even more scary for melanoma specifically, one of the biggest risk factors is what's called intermittent intense exposure, which means one sunburn is enough to cause melanoma. So you get a sunburn as a small child, and then at 35 you develop a melanoma. And the big risk was that one episode. The idea that one needs these intense exposures for vitamin D metabolism in this latitude is not true. If you're living a relatively normal life, walking to your car, walking to the shops out of your car, that's normal exposure to make vitamin D. And then the second question, it's true that sun damage as a child is extremely important, but it's absolutely never too late. Because every secondary or tertiary exposure after that accumulates this damage in the cell DNA. So even if you damage the cell DNA, your body is very good at fixing it. But the more sun we get and the more radiation you get, that ability is broken down further and further and further. So that's why your risk would still go up and up and up and up as you are exposing more. And potentially it will slowly be repaired if you're fixing your mistake later on.
Doctor, I must thank you very much for giving us your time this morning.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much. That's Dr. Jeremy O'Kennedy, specialist dermatologist at Morningside MediClinic.